All right, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. You're very welcome back to the programme. I did say that, didn't I? Right, we have a competition running Kelly's in association with Kelly's. Do you have those deets? You're going to get them for... everything is... I'm not going to fall out with you on air, Caroline, but everything's stapled together. Okay, I'll dig through it here because it is a brilliant competition we've got running for you, but I'll have to come back to that. Right, 086 60 25,000, the WhatsApp and text number. We've been very busy on the programme with all of you texting in. Now, because of the nature of today, I'm not sure how many of them I'm going to get to. And it's such a sensitive subject. I want to say this out in front. I will come back to this on Monday morning. So if you took the time to text in and I don't get to them, because we've got a half an hour interview with Stephen Donnelly, if you sent in the text, don't think I'm not reading it out for any reason. They're not being, you know, picked out for some sort of an ideology or anything like that. That's not how I roll. That's not how I play. If I don't get them to the day today, it's going to be a significant story on Monday as well, of course, and we will get to them then as well, okay? So please bear with me on that. Okay, we're joined on the programme now by Health Minister Stephen Donnelly. Minister, thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Greg. It's great to be in Donegal today.
Yeah, now before we get to the matters you'll be discussing today, I must ask you a quick word on the awful events in Dublin yesterday. And foremost in my mind is the attack on these three innocent young children, one very, very seriously ill, and of course their care. It is horrendous, isn't it?
It's horrific. It's absolutely horrific. I've got three young children myself, and the idea that young children, 5 years of age, were lining up outside a school and some lunatic came over with a knife and started to attack them and attack the woman they were with, the carer they were with. It is every parent's worst nightmare. And my thoughts are with the children. My thoughts are with their families. I can't begin to imagine what their families are going through. And indeed, with the woman in her 30s who was with them, who I understand was their carer as well, who was seriously injured. Our thoughts are with her and with her family. It is literally the stuff of every parent's nightmare.
And then, of course, we saw the events that followed, something we've never really seen in Dublin on this scale before. Buses burnt out, Garda cars burnt out, members of the Gardaí corralled and attacked. Hospitals having to put out posts suggesting that please don't come here unless it's completely unavoidable. What's your reaction to last night's activity?
It's just wanton thuggery and criminality, isn't it? I know there's a far right element there who are trying to whip up racism and bigotry. But this isn't about ideology. This is just pure thuggery and hatred. And those thugs screaming racist slogans up and down the streets of Dublin, streets I grew up on, you know, it'll be lost on them that the very healthcare workers you're talking about who are running our hospitals, that if any one of them got injured last night, there's every chance that it would be a foreign healthcare worker, a foreign nurse, a foreign doctor, who would be helping them. And I was getting updates, as you can imagine, yesterday and this morning from our healthcare services as to the status of the hospitals in Dublin. Our healthcare workers, including many foreign healthcare workers, responded as we always see them do, which was very admirably. But at the same time, I was looking at some posts from some of our international doctors and other healthcare workers, what they were hearing about what was being, you know, chanted on the streets of Dublin. There is absolutely no place for any of that.
It is going to feed, though, into a narrative that's out there, okay? And it is going to spawn a conversation, even though the alleged attacker, over 20 years living in Ireland, an Irish citizen, and we don't know more about the background other than that, but it is going to amplify a conversation, and it is also going to, you know, embolden or encourage perhaps certain elements. What is there a conversation that needs to be had about immigration, about integration, about the situation that's in Ireland? This could be the sort of first incident of many. I don't think we can ignore it either. Not to be forced into the conversation by these actions, but it just seems inevitable that we are going to have that conversation on a national level, perhaps more seriously.
Well, do we have the conversation whenever an Irish man murders somebody? We don't. Do we have the conversation about people in Dublin when a Dublin man attacks somebody? We don't. Do we have a conversation about Donegal when a Donegal man attacks somebody? We don't. So why do we need to have a conversation about someone who was born anywhere, right? The reality is what happened in terms of this attack is completely unacceptable. It's horrific. And inevitably, the far right, the racists, the bigots, the cowards, the thugs will try to exploit this, not for any thought out ideology. I think, Greg, if there is to be a national conversation to be had, I think it's a different conversation. The young people today are brought up on a diet through television and, you know, turn on Netflix and every second thing you see will be, you know, a series or a movie about someone with a gun killing a load of other people with guns. We have social media platforms now where the algorithms are feeding people, the majority of whom are young people, feeding them hatred and bigotry and racism. And by the way, a lot of mental health issues around eating disorders, suicide ideation. We have plenty of evidence from all over the world that shows that the algorithms, the latest was an Amnesty International report just in the last 2 weeks, showing that the algorithms on these social media platforms, at least in this case, I believe it was TikTok, are targeting people. With negativity.
Well, what do we do? Because we have to move on, but briefly on that, you know, a lot of those companies are based here. We make it really quite favourable for them to be here. We theoretically should then have a great deal of influence in that regard. What can be done?
There are several things happening. You'll have seen Norma Foley has brought in support for a smartphone voluntary ban in primary schools that actually originated in my hometown and in Wicklow. I think I would like to see a smartphone ban across schools generally. There's a new media commission and a new online safety commissioner, and there's a new binding code being brought in next year. There are things we are doing, but your question is around, do we need to have a national conversation? And I think we do, but not on that topic, right? Any more than we need to have a national conversation on people in Kerry or Donegal or Wicklow if there's an attack, you know, from there.
You made that point,
But we've got to reflect on the fact that young people growing up today, when you and I were growing up, I'm probably a bit older than you, but when you and I were growing up, we couldn't turn on the telly and just have series after series after series streamed into our sitting rooms with the glamorized violence and guns and death and murder. And I think that's the conversation
that
we need to
have. That being said, many of the on the streets last night, their heroes would be the likes of Conor McGregor, and his ex-stroke Twitter timeline makes for very interesting reading. But anyway, we must move on. You're here for good news, the turning of a sod on the site of the new Letterkenny Community Hospital in Kelmacrennan Road. We'll talk about that, but I must talk to you about the letter sent to you by 78 GPs, unprecedented up here, Stephen. Almost 300 consultants now have written a letter to you outlining the serious situation at Letterkenny University Hospital. And I know you'll want to talk about significant investment and improvements that are there, but I also have the words of the consultants ringing in my ears saying that if something is not done, and something's not done quickly, we are looking at a service collapse. GPs are nervous about sending patients to that hospital. Patients themselves are opting to avoid treatment because of previous experience. What can you do as the boss to address those concerns?
Thanks, Chris. Well, as you say, I'm here for two reasons. We're turning the sod after this interview. We're turning the sod this morning on a new community nursing unit directly across the road from the hospital. It's a 110-bed unit. It's going to be state-of-the-art. And one of the things that that will do is help in terms of discharge from Letterkenny Hospital, because there's delayed discharge. And one of the best ways to deal with delayed discharge is through having community beds available to them. But so that's the first thing I'm doing. I'm delighted to be doing that. There's also an 80-bed unit is opening up shortly in Ballyshannon. There's new community nursing units, and these are going to help in
Take
terms
the pressure
of
off.
In terms of the hospital, right? part of the solution, as you'll know, Greg, is investing in community care, because any emergency medicine nurse or doctor will tell you the solution to trolleys mm-hmm. is not in the emergency department.
Yes.
It's before the emergency
okay,
department.
Okay, but with respect, the ED is one thing, and I appreciate what you're saying is in relation to that. We're talking about actually being cared for. There's one urology consultant to provide cancer services to patients, 1.75 cardiologists, same number of oncologists, three fewer full-time radiologists than there have been in the past. There's a delay in providing chemotherapy. There's only one surgeon actively doing rectal cancer work. I could go down the list, but we don't have time. We have no dermatologist. The dermatologist in Sligo was blindsided. He wasn't told that the dermatologist in Letterkenny University Hospital was retiring. He's having to take on the caseload from Donegal now. He's concerned that we're missing cancers, we're missing the stress that it's putting teenagers with acne problems through. He says he simply can't maintain the list that's there. I presume you're aware, Stephen Donnelly, that same dermatologist, he's been trying to get an inspection light for 3 years and doesn't actually even have that right. And now he's taken on the Donegal workload. So I appreciate looking at ED, taking the pressures off, home care packages and all that. But in terms of actually getting care, the people aren't in the hospital to do that.
They are in the hospital to do it. So let's talk about that, right? There is a relentless negativity that I hear in terms of the discussion on healthcare in Donegal. And I'm here to challenge that. It's not to deflect from the fact that there are real issues when we talk about individual doctors, right? I fully accept that. But let's talk about what's actually happening in Letterkenny Hospital and the fantastic job that our healthcare workers in that hospital are doing, right? The reduction in the inpatient list, the number of people waiting for surgery in the hospital, just in the last year has fallen by a third. Think about that. That's probably never happened before. The reduction in the number of people waiting for a day case procedure has fallen by 25% just in the last year. That's probably never happened before. The reduction in the outpatient list has fallen by 16% just in the last year. It's probably never happened before. Gynecology, an area we've invested in, there's fantastic work going on. Believe it or not, the gynecology list has fallen just in the last year by 32%. Now, why is this happening? Two reasons. We have fantastic healthcare workers doing a really good job, notwithstanding there are pressures. I fully accept that, Greg, right? But the first reason is we've good healthcare workers doing their job. The second is Letterkenny Hospital is in the middle of the biggest investment it has ever had. Mm. And in fact, Donegal is in the middle of the biggest healthcare investment it's ever had. So just for your listeners, very quickly, right? In the last few years, the budget's gone up by 30%. Staffing has gone up by 410 whole-time equivalents. There's nearly 50 more beds. The gynecology service has been expanded. There's a new stroke unit, a new maternity theatre, a new endoscopy.
That. Yep.
But that's important.
But you're comparing that to 2016.
I'm comparing it to this government.
Right. Okay.
In the lifetime of this government.
But you have to understand that we at Letterkenny University Hospital were way, way behind other hospitals. Like, say, for instance, in terms of funding, we get the same funding as Sligo University Hospital, yet we've got a far greater demographic. So in other words, you divide the amount of attendees into the budget for Letterkenny University Hospital. It's far, far less than that of Sligo University Hospital, like 14th, yet we are the fourth or fifth busiest hospital. That statistic just escapes me at the moment. So how can Letterkenny University Hospital expect to survive on the same budget as Sligo University Hospital with a far greater demographic using those facilities?
So Letterkenny Hospital is not surviving, it's growing. And it's growing at a level it has never grown at before. I won't go back through all of the figures, right?
How has that been achieved? Is that through the National Treatment Purchase Fund?
No, through this government investing in healthcare in Donegal.
So you're saying all of those additional operations happening down in Letterkenny, those treatments that you're saying, that's happening in the hospital?
The capacity obviously is, right? The 410 people, the 49 beds, the new gynae service.
Of course,
service,
I understand that.
All of that is. Yeah. The reduction in the waiting list is two things. The reduction in the waiting list is partly activity within the hospital and partly using the National Treatment Purchase
Fund.
Which
we invested 3.25 million last year into the NTPF. Would that money not be better off?
A lot more than that.
From Letterkenny University Hospital?
Well, a lot more nationally.
Yeah. From that one hospital, 3.25 million. Would that not be better off spent within that hospital, growing services, trying to attract consultants in?
Here's the question. do for the people who are listening to you and I right now, who are waiting in pain, who need a new hip or a new knee or whatever it might be, what do you want to say to them? Mm-hmm. Do you want to say to them, we'll invest in the hospital, but that takes time, with the best will in the world, that takes time, and you just sit there now for 2 or 3 years and we'll get to you? Or do you want to say what this government has done, which is, we are investing in the hospital at a level that has never before been seen, and at the same time, we're going to use every ounce of private capacity to get you the treatment you need now. Greg, it isn't an either or. We have people waiting for care. They're waiting too long. It's not acceptable to me. It's not acceptable to this government. And therefore, we are using every healthcare asset we have in this country to get people the care they need.
I understand. And what you're saying is fine. But you have 300 consultants down in that hospital that you're going to have to meet that take on board what you're saying, but still say that services could collapse at the hospital. What do you say to the people of Donegal who can't get an appointment with a dermatologist? What do you say to people of Donegal who can't get the same treatment for diabetes, for an example, that can be experienced in other parts of the country? You know, these are life-changing situations for people. We've got fewer radiologists, as I mentioned. There is a huge delay in providing chemotherapy. This is life and death stuff that isn't numbers printed on a piece of paper. I know you get it, right? But there is death by geography, it feels, up here. What we need is, I understand you coming up and having the back of the staff in the hospital, but that's not going to help, because we need the penny to drop in Dublin. That's a particular issue here in the Northwest that needs addressing. And you're saying, actually, not really, because everything's somewhat rosy in the garden.
Let me say a few things in response to that, Greg. I have great respect for you, and I have great respect for your show and the work that you do. But that kind of language around death by geography and some of the language you're using is simply not correct. And I really don't think it is helpful. And I don't think it is fair on the healthcare workers who are providing these services. The idea, I've been to Letterkenny Hospital. Mm-hmm. I'm going back to Letterkenny Hospital
today. I'm talking about
yeah,
no, services
let me
aren't
respond.
Available.
I don't want you to
frame as if I'm having to go with the hospital staff down there who I stand shoulder to shoulder with. I'm on about the services that aren't there.
Well, then
All
I would ask then is, can I just ask that we all reflect on the language that we use? Right? Because the idea that Letterkenny Hospital is dangerous, or some of this language is being used, is simply not the case.
You started
this interview by saying that the GPs are saying they're scared of sending their patients into Letterkenny.
It's in the letter you received.
Implicit in that is that there is some safety issue with the people who are providing the services, because the long
delays in the ED, the 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 hours, they are saying from a clinical perspective that is more damaging to their patients than sending them home. That I'm not saying they're going into the hospital and poorer treatment is harming them. I'm not saying that at all, Mr.
Right, so
what the GP said to you is that the waits are so long down in the ED that they believe that it is detrimental to their patients.
So let's be clear. Let's step back for a second, okay? Because we're all trying to achieve the same.
I agree.
We all know that there has been a deficit of investment in healthcare in this county for many years, right? That's why this government has turned that on its head. Can we solve everything in 2 or 3 years? No. No government could. But what are we doing? We're investing in the hospital at a level that has never before been seen. We've brought in a new consultant contract. I'm very aware. The last time I was in the hospital, the consultants and the managers told me about real issues they had, for example, in geriatrics, hiring in new consultants. I brought that back to the HSC. The HSC sent up a team to help with some of that. But we now have a public-only contract that pays about 2.5 times more than the consultants in Altnagalvin and Derry get, right? So hiring into Letterkenny has never been more attractive in terms of consultants. We talk about the ED.
Yes.
One of the things that got raised with me last time was there weren't enough full-time ED consultants. The advice I have is that there are 3 new consultants starting shortly. And this is how we solve the problem.
My information is there's 3 unfilled posts. That no consultants have actually been selected for those posts yet.
That's not my understanding.
Okay,
I'm very open to being corrected. I've been reading a lot of material on it. But my understanding is that
There's three confirmed posts. I'm not sure there have been. But
my understanding is that there is something could happen there. Okay, but let's stick with this for a moment, yep. Right? Let's knit all of this together, because nobody wants to spend too much time in an emergency department. I sent up a specialist team, as you'll be aware. When the GPs wrote to me, I immediately sent up a specialist team. I spoke with Charlie McConlogue, spoke with Niall Blaney, and what we agreed is I'd send in the team, so I'd get an expert view. I'm not a doctor, mm-hmm. I'm not an ED expert. I'd get an expert view on what more can be done, and then I would come meet the GPs, meet the consultants, meet the hospital managers, which is exactly what we're doing today. One of the things that the expert team has come back to me is they've said that nearly one in two admissions into the hospital are being discharged the next day. And what they are saying is that's a very, very high figure. Mm-hmm. And it suggests that there's a level of admission into the hospital going on with people who probably can be cared for by their GP, by their primary care team in their home. So they're going to be working with the hospital now to see what can happen. But let's come back to the three ED consultants, because one of the ways that you reduce unnecessary admission is you have the senior decision makers on the floor. The more junior staff or the locum staff will tend to be more risk averse, and they'll tend to admit people who a more senior consultant mightn't admit. So these are the kind of real practical things now that we're doing to make sure that the trolley situation gets dealt with. Because one thing where we absolutely do agree, Greg, is on the emergency department. I was looking again at the figures this morning. In the last year, presentations are up 11%. That's a lot. And admissions are up 3%. Now, the trolleys versus 2019 are only up 1%. That's still moving in the wrong direction. Don't get me wrong. We have to fix it. So I recognise the challenges. It's why I'm here. It's why we're investing so much money. And I want to be honest with you, and I want to be honest with your listeners. These are issues, as everyone in Donegal knows, these are issues that have been building up for decades.
They have indeed.
Right? And while we can't solve them all in the term of one government, we can turn the ship around into a much more positive direction. Last year, for example, I opened three of the seven primary care centres in Donegal. There's another one under construction.
Understood, yeah.
And another one coming. And it's that kind of investment, not just in the hospital, but in community care that is going to ultimately help.
I get you. And I think, you accuse me of being overly negative or whatever, but the one thing I have the
I'm just looking for a bit of balance.
That is all I do is balance, right? But when I've got someone that rings me from Fannad in South Inishowen or in North Donegal, right, and they get a hospital appointment, a referral to Galway, because that's the Sialta plan, for 10 o'clock in the morning, and there's not even a bus. You know, there's no buses that can get you from Donegal to Galway for an appointment in the morning and back in the evening. There is not. They're spending €200 or €300 on a taxi, or they're not going at all. So how do I offer that person balance, Minister? And it's not just one person.
Greg, I'd need to know the circumstances. I don't know why
there's
they're
no
going
buses
down to Galway.
They're being referred to. The Sialta plan is, well, we can't provide all these services everywhere, so you go down to see a consultant because there's none up here, right? You're sent down to Galway.
To the greatest
extent... Are you aware of that?
Yeah, to the greatest extent possible, what we're doing is trying to get people the care that they need where they are. That's why we've invested in GP practice. GPs in Donegal and around the country, for example, now have access to chronic disease management programs that didn't exist even 3 years ago. So if you have diabetes in Donegal, if you have cardiovascular disease in Donegal, if you have respiratory issues, COPD in Donegal, your GP now has access to consultants and specialist care that they didn't have 3 years ago. That's the first line of defence, if you like. The second line of defence is these new state-of-the-art primary care centres. As I said, there's three brand new ones have opened, another one in construction there coming. They have x-rays in them, not all of them, but a lot of them have diagnostics in them. They've advanced nurse practitioners. They have integrated care. That's the second line of defence. And it's going from strength to strength. Mm-hmm. But like I say, we can't solve all of this in just a few years. The third line of defence then is the hospital, is Letterkenny. That's why we're investing. It's why we're also investing in the community beds to be able to discharge. But inevitably,
you told me the last time I spoke to you, and I won't keep you very much longer, you told me the last time I spoke to you that an extra $30 million had gone into Letterkenny University Hospital. As it transpired, that money was just to stand still. That was to really, all that covered really effectively was pay increases, increases in energy and all that type of stuff. Okay, I'll go back to the funding.
But sorry, just on that, if you don't mind, can I just come back to that?
Yes, of course.
Like that's hard to reconcile with the fact that the workforce has gone up by over 400.
Mm-hmm.
That's not standing still.
Yeah.
The new gynae service is not standing still. The new maternity services is not standing still. The reduction in the waiting lists is not standing still. Like, we have to, let me be clear, I fully accept that, yeah, and it's your job to point out what isn't working, right? And yes. I accept and I respect that, right? All I'm saying is, a narrative that somehow Letterkenny Hospital is not doing a good job, Minister, in Loughborough, simply isn't true. The waiting lists are falling.
There is no narrative along those lines. It is our hospital. It's my hospital. If you get through the doors of the hospital, the treatment is excellent in many, many cases, okay? And we talk about that all the time. The staff are amazing. Mm. But we are also talking about some really serious issues here. Like, when we're hearing it from consultants, it's not me making it up. It's not like, I don't have a problem with the government, as you know, I might have been told otherwise, but I don't, right? I am only here trying to reflect the views of the public, the consultants, the GPs. And when they say... when they say that the services are on the brink of collapse, that's not my words. So, but how do I offer balance to a consultant who tells me that if you don't do something, there could be a service collapse at the hospital? Where do I get the balance from there? I get it from you, of course, yeah, and that's what we're doing right now, but it can be hard to get access at times. Just very, very finally, funding. You talk about investment. I have to come back to the comparing ourselves to Sligo University Hospital. The head of Sialta don't like me doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway, right? Sligo University Hospital, Letterkenny University Hospital, similar budgets. The catchment area for Sligo University Hospital, 90,000 people. Letterkenny University Hospital, 150,000 people. So notwithstanding all of you, what you've said, Letterkenny's effectively a model 3.5 hospital. Yeah. Not that such a category exists.
No, you're right. It is, though.
Can you not look at the funding? This would alleviate an awful lot what we're talking about. We can't survive on the same funding as Sligo. We're a massive area up here.
Yes is the answer. And the answer is not, yes, we will look at that in the future. The answer is, that's exactly what we've been doing for the last 3 years, right? So let me just go back. In the lifetime of this government, investment in Letterkenny Hospital has increased by 30%. In the lifetime of this government, the workforce in Letterkenny Hospital has increased by a quarter. Greg, that's never happened before. So the core challenge you are very rightly putting to me is, you in Donegal, have not had the level of investment that the good people of Donegal need and deserve. That's the core of what you're saying. And I am saying, you are absolutely correct. And I and Charlie and Niall and everyone in government, we stand shoulder to shoulder with you and say we agree. And that's why there has never been as much investment. But critically, not just in the hospital, but in community. Because a lot of the solutions to the pressures in the hospital are treating people in their own community. And that's what we're doing. Is there more to be done? Absolutely. Mm. And that's why I'm here today, partly, as you said, to turn this out on another 110 bed unit that'll matter. But I'm here today to listen to the healthcare workers, to listen to the hospital managers and say, OK, there's been record investment. More is needed. Let's talk about how and where that needs to go.
All right, Minister, I'm not the enemy, by the way.
I know, Greg.
Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, thanks very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Just three people on trolleys at Letterkenny University Hospital today, which is great news, if not a little bit coincidental, but anyway, good to see. Right, okay, let us talk about now the big card draw. It is back, and Sean Quinn is back in studio to talk about it. It's the Christmas card draw, is that what you're calling it? It's the big card draw. It's all going to be wrapped up before Christmas, or is it?
Well, it's our Christmas draw, but obviously it's the car. This will be our fourth car that we've actually given away over the Christmas period. And today I'm here to launch officially that as of now, you can go on to highlandradio.com and you can buy a ticket.
It's a beautiful looking car. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, so courtesy of DMG Motors, we have gone this year for a Skoda Kamiq. It's a 1.1 TSI. It's a lovely car. It's in grey. It's an SUV. Five doors, aircon, touchscreen, all mod cons within the cockpit. Beautiful car, as I said, worth over 30,000. Wouldn't that just be nice to win that on the week of Christmas, Greg?
Yeah, fantastic. It is a beaut. Looks really, really modern, of course. And your daytime running lights and all that kind of stuff. It's a real beaut. Right, okay, so you know the score. It's easy to enter if you want to. You can go onto our website, highlandradio.com. You'll see it there on the front page. I'm showing it to those who may be watching on our socials. And it's really, really simple. You simply go to the card, you click in. There's no products in the card yet because I haven't gone down and bought my ticket, which is you have to scroll slightly down. So you can buy a single ticket for a tenner. You can get two. You can get a free ticket by buying six for 50.
Yeah.
Or if you want to buy them out, and this is what I would do, you know, spread them out as presents. You can buy eight. You buy six of You buy eight, you get two free, so you get 10 for 80.
Yeah.
All so right.
It works out €8 per ticket when you do
€8
that way.
Per ticket if you want to do it that way. Fantastic.
And the great thing is also you can put eight different names on it as well.
Yeah.
So if you, or 10 names on it. So if you want to gift it for Christmas, then you can put individual names. It's on the right-hand side as you scroll down. And you would then receive every single ticket on your email. So it's important that you have an email address when you're doing it online to enter. And everything will come through to your email instantaneously. When you click the send button, everything will go through.
And of course, if there's any issues in that regard, we're always here, by the way, during office hours. We're always here, though. You know, if there's any uncertainty or need to check anything, we want to make it as easy for you as possible. But it's perfectly safe, perfect secure. Couldn't be any simpler. So the most you'll pay for a ticket is a tenner. You get six for 50 or 10 for 80. And of course, we're only inviting those who can afford to and can play with it and have a bit of fun with it to do so. Obviously, you know, for some people, it might not be suitable for you. So it's only for those of you who can afford the €10 punt. And that's the most you'd have to pay. Right, okay. So you go onto our website, highlandradio.com. It's a beautiful car. Run through the car for us again, because people who can't see it won't get it. So we want to describe it for them.
Yeah, so it's a Skoda Kamiq. It's a 1 litre TSI. It's 5-door and has all mod cons, including air conditioning, touchscreen. It's, as I said, it's a 5-door.
Yeah,
it's got alloy wheels. Yeah. It's a class machine. It's beautiful. It's in metallic grey. We're actually hoping to have it in the shopping centre in the next week or so. So if you're going to Letterkenny Shopping Centre, you'll see it there. You can apply online, where some lucky person will get a call from yourself on the 22nd of December. And as I always say, if you're not in, you can't win.
Yeah, you invented that. I never heard that one before. And just that, you know, by the way, that's going to be a really busy week. Loads of you winning stuff as well, and lots of fun. Shows are going to be out and about in the community. We're going to have loads of special guests. We're in that run up to Christmas. We're going to make it really, really special. There's also a small matter of home for Christmas as well. So it's going to be a really fun week as we lead up to Christmas, with lots of fun, lots of crack, lots of giveaways, lots of OBs and all that type of thing. Right, there's one thing I wanted to mention about this competition. What was it again? Oh, yeah. There's going to be other stuff, is there? You can't reveal it yet. Is there going to be other stuff?
I would say,
get your tickets early.
I'm not going to go into, but there's something coming which is going to be brilliant. So I would say, if you want to buy a ticket, get in early.
And you'll be in for the other stuff as well.
There is other stuff coming, but I'm just not going to tell you today. But it's going to be well worthwhile because, just buy early.
Yeah, okay. Right, folks, the way this works, it's really, really simple. You buy your tickets online. We print off your number. We put it in the draw drum or the trombola. You can call up to us here at the radio station as well. We'll help you out in that regard, or give us a call. We'll sort you out one way or other. But all of the tickets physically go in, and then you watch the show and you see the ticket being pulled out. It couldn't be any clearer, any more transparent, or any simpler. And we're going to have the car, of course, and other stuff, so stay tuned for that. So if you want to treat yourself or get a gift for someone else, one ticket for this car, €10. You can get six for 50 or 10 for 80. You can individualise those. And there's been a lovely mix, Sean, with various competitions that we've done where the person themselves have won, or someone that they've nominated has won. It's all mixed in, and it's always a local winner as well. Listen, you see some of these competitions elsewhere where multiples of over 100, 200,000 people enter. You don't know where the prize is going. This is on a different scale. You're in with a chance. Do you know what I mean? And they've all been won locally as well too. Yep. Not that that matters, but for some people it might matter. And I think it's important. This is for us here.
This is
to have fun with.
Absolutely. And you're 100% what you said there. They've all been won locally. There's a certain area which is probably a bit luckier than others, but heading towards the end of the show and on the right hand side. but yeah, so you know, if you're in Ballybuffet, Donegal Town, Khalid Begs, Guido, wherever, or wherever you are,
okay,
it's your turn. It's your turn.
You'll hear more about it, of course. We've just officially launched it there. It's the card draw. It's a beauty. And you can enter right now on our website, highlandradio.com. You'll see the link there. Or give us a call if you need some assistance, 07491 25000. Or if you wish, though we prefer you to do it online, of course, but if you wish to call in, we can sort you out there as well. Sean, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, best of luck.